Elliot Friedman is Hockey Night in Canada's NHL analyst, also with the NHL on Sportsnet. Elliot Friedman joining Richard Deitch and myself in primetime. So, Mr. Friedman, one more sleep, and the puck has dropped. You're ready for this, I presume. I saw you on the Hockey Central preview. You were complaining about having to do predictions. So as soon as I saw that, I thought, okay, Friedman's ready. Get it going.
When I'm complaining, you know I'm in mid-season form.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You're consistent about your predictions. You do not like doing predictions.
No, I hate them. I really hate them. And not just because I'm always wrong. I just, you know, if I could predict things, I would be predicting lottery numbers and I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be on an island with no social media accounts and nobody would ever hear from me again.
It's interesting, Elliot, because I certainly respect your viewpoint on this, but fans love them. They love predictions. They love lists. They love this, you know, it sort of speaks to fantasy hockey. You know,
yeah,
people can't get enough of them. You know, you could do segments every week on a prediction of something.
Well, I think, yes, they do. They gobble it up. And if, you know, if people are interested, then you have to do them, right, Richard? There's no question about it. And at the beginning of every year in my notes, and I'm working on them for tomorrow, I do like to pick a couple of teams who I think are completely under-respected, who are going to have good years. And I've had I've had success at picking those teams before, and I've been disastrous at picking those teams before. But the funny thing is, there are people out there who like to remind you of your terrible picks. There's some of my buddies, they've heard things I've said over the years that have turned out to be completely untrue. And whenever I say something to them, they'll be like, is this more or less accurate than your prediction of this particular thing, which turned out to be a complete disaster?
See, that's just not fair.
But, you know, that's what friends are for, right? They're there to remind you of all the horrible things that you've done in your
right.
life.
Jeff, I think you both know this. I don't know how many people in the audience know, but if you happen to be on Twitter, there is an incredible account called Old Takes Exposed, which lists sports writer predictions sports analyst predictions or columns. And it's just like, you know, you'll read like from like the Jordan draft, Michael Jordan will be a failure. What a terrible pick by the Bulls. I mean, it's fantastic. You know, fortunately, I haven't been burned on there too much, but I mean, you and Jeff will appreciate this. I do have a tweet out there where I said like the Bucks pick of Roberto Aguayo, the kicker in the second round, will be game changing. He's going to win a ton of games for the Bucks. He's the greatest college kicker I've ever seen. He was cut literally, I think, a year into his tenure and has not been seen since. So we've all had these.
Yeah. We all have those. Yes.
Before we talk about the season ahead, I wanted to ask you about Gary Bettman's some of the things he said today, in particular,
yep,
in an interview about. He was asked about escrow, but mostly about front-loaded contracts. I wanted to ask you this, Elliot. Look, front-loaded contracts are, I mean, it's
he
how teams like
them.
The Leafs work. Why does he hate them? Like, why would Gary Bettman hate them?
Why would he hate them? Because I think the one thing about this commissioner is he has fought hard for some of the weaker links in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, you know, I mean, how many times have people said that Arizona will be a failure?
Right.
And he has fought hard to do it.
Brought hockey back to Winnipeg.
You know, early in his career, he was ripped for not doing enough to save Canadian franchises. He brought it back. And, you know, he's exhibited a lot more patience with the current ownership in Ottawa than I think a lot of people would, you know, ever expect. Once he decides he's going to fight for something, he fights for it. And, you know, I think that he believes that, you know, there's too many owners and teams that don't think they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this part of the argument, I am against the commissioner. You know, to me, the salary cap was there to hinder the Torontos, the Rangers, the Flyers, the Canadians of the world, even the Canucks of the world. And so if I was them and I own the Maple Leafs and someone said to me, okay, well, you brought the cap in. Yes, I can make more money, but I can't throw money at everything I want to throw money at. So this is what I'm going to do to sort of take advantage of the loophole. But he just philosophically disagrees with that. He hates it. He brought it up last year at the Board of Governors meeting in Vegas, and he was emphatic about it. I think he would did it again this year at the Board of Governors meeting, which was a couple weeks ago. I think he was upset about it again. He hates it, and he's going to try to stop it. I just don't know if that's going to happen as part of this CBA. Like, that might be one CBA away. I think it's too big a battle to fight against the players right now because it's a big victory for them.
Elliot, I want to ask you about sort of the state of the league as we head towards this year's regular season. You take a macro look, and a little bit of this is sort of U.S.-based. They're in a great position with a new franchise coming in Seattle, which I think is going to be an absolute hit. They're a couple. Mm-hmm. They're very, very. They have labor peace, which at least for a couple of years, which is huge. And here's the big one, Elliot. They are sitting, I think, on a gold mine when it comes to the U.S. television rights deal that's coming up. One,
it looks like it.
Right. The postseason numbers were very good. Regular season numbers off last year were flat. But here's the thing, Elliot. Not only do they have the incumbents in NBC, they have so many new kind of digital and streaming players in the states like DAZN, et cetera. It would strike me that the NHL is looking at a great, great media deal coming up simply because I think there's just going to be a lot of suitors who want their content and inventory.
Well, that is the belief. I do think that one of the major reasons that the CBA was extended by the players, or they didn't go through with their opportunity to reopen it, is the belief that there is going to be a burst, a significant burst in the U.S. media rights in 2 years. And, you know, obviously people believe that NBC is going to extend, but they're going to give up a small part of the package to a secondary partner over the air, which may be ESPN. But there is also, I think a number of us are wondering if there is going to be a digital streaming partner, whether it's Amazon or DAZN, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. You know, we don't know, but I think we're all curious to find out exactly what that's going to be. I think the other question that's going to be interesting, Richard, is, you know, the United States is coming off a 10-year deal. You know, our deal is a 12-year deal.
Right.
I think there's people who think the NHL is going to go shorter with this one.
It's interesting. The one thing I would point out to you and Jeff Elliott, and I think you certainly, Elliott, you know this, is I think the NHL will create a streaming deal for this reason alone. These new players in the market like DAZN honestly are willing to pay a absurd premium just to mm-hmm. just to be part of the like the big four or five sports rights. So I think I think Bettman's calculation is correct. I think he's going to be able to get a ransom for that streaming deal simply because I think these companies want in major sports, which as a general rule are just they don't come to market often.
That's true. I think you're right. Like until we know, we don't know. But I think you're right. I'm curious about the term of the deal. Like I said, I've had some people tell me they think that this might turn out to be a shorter term deal because, you know, we really don't know where we're going. And they don't necessarily want to undersell their rights. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know the answer to this question. I'm very curious about it. But I've heard all the same things you've heard. I think, Richard, though, like, I think one of the biggest changes we're going to see over the next 5 to 10 years is I believe there's going to be a push to have the players out there more. You know, very quietly last week, you know, there was an announcement by the NHL that they're getting into partnership with a social media platform to have players put things out there. And, you know, I had some people who told me that very quietly that was a pretty significant story that didn't get a lot of play. Because that is not something even 3 or 4 years ago they think the NHL would have considered. So I believe we are heading into a new era. Like these young players, they've just proven over the last year that they're not afraid to flex their muscle when it comes to contract negotiations. They have moved the bar. They've changed the pay structure of the National Hockey League. So I think that people are very curious to see what they're going to be willing to do with their personalities. And I really do think if the NHL wants to move the ceiling for what it can be, it's going to be on the players to do that with their selves.
Elliot, what you look around the Canadian-based NHL teams, and I know you guys did this on the Hockey Central preview. You look around at the Canadian-based NHL teams, which Canadian-based NHL team is the most puzzling to you right now? Like, which team could go in any direction?
I think that's a great question, Jeff. I think Toronto's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think Calgary's still going to be pretty good, although I think they have some – I think they're interested in – curious about – I don't think anybody's expecting Calgary to finish second in the league again,
mm-hmm.
but I still think they're going to be good. I would say that the teams that – I think the one of the more interesting ones is Winnipeg, because I get the sense that a lot of people don't think they're going to be as good as I think they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bufflin being away is huge, and we'll see how that all works out. But there's a lot of people there who don't think there is, like, I've said a lot that I think Winnipeg's a Stanley Cup contender. Now, again, that's questionable a bit more now because Bufflin's not there, but I have a lot of people who really disagree with me on that. So I think they're kind of being disrespected a bit. I still think they're really talented. I still think they've got a lot of ability, but if there's one team in Canada that I think is expected to be good, that most people, they say they'll be fine, but in that division, they're not as good as I think they are, it's probably the Jets.
Hmm. Elliot, I want to ask you about two teams that obviously Leaf fans care a lot about, and that's the Lightning and the Bruins. One,
yeah.
do you expect the Lightning to sort of run off and hide again as they did last year? And the second one I think might be more interesting because in reading thoughts and stories from people, preseason stories about the Bruins, there does seem to be a little bit of a difference in opinion. Some believe, obviously, they're you know, one of the top three or four teams in hockey, Stanley Cup contender again. And then there are others who surmise that they may take a step back and that the Bergeron sort of Marchand era is going to start to head the other way. How do you see those two teams?
I don't buy that at all.
Okay.
I don't buy that at all. I mean, you know, Richard, chances are you're right that they're going to take a step back because the only step forward is winning the Stanley Cup, right? So, you know, the odds are with you if you're wagering, if you're putting the money down. But you underestimate that team at your own peril. They're pros, man. They always prepare right. They have the right attitude. You know, regardless of what you think about some of the stuff Marchand does on the ice, like him, Bergeron, Chara, even the younger guys, the McAvoys, the Krugs, the Krejcis, the Pasternaks, those guys are pros. They prepare a certain way. They're always ready. They're disciplined. They do what they do. They show up much more often than they don't. I'm happy to put money on the Bruins to be good 100 times out of 100. I think the Lightning, I think they're really talented. You know, I could see, again, I think in the regular season, I think they may step back a bit because stepping up is setting another NHL record for wins in the season. And I don't know if that's going to matter as much to them as it did last year. But I still think they're going to be really good. I think the biggest difference in that division, Richard, is the last 2 years we've known by January who's making the playoffs.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think Florida's going to be better. And I think the Maple Leafs will be better. I think they're going to be interesting to watch. I think there could be a lot of 8-6 games, which is fun to watch. But, you know, I think Toronto's going to be better. I think they're going to have the puck a lot. And, you know, I know it was Detroit, and they're not going to be very good. But if you watch that power play last Saturday night, it's going to destroy people. And
yeah.
So I think it's going to be a great division to watch this year.
No, again, you made the point during the preview that, I mean, my goodness, the number of options that Mike Babcock has on the power play now, you know, it's just staggering. They've effectively got two full units, don't they? That'll be better. Their second unit will be better than a lot of teams' first units, and that
it will be.
That's frightening. St. Louis, what do you make of the Blues and what they've done in the off season? And I mean, they're in a tough division. Do you see any way they repeat? And again, I know that's, I'm asking you, yeah. Puck hasn't even been dropped in anger yet, but can you see the Blues? Do they look to you like a team that might be able to repeat?
I think the interesting thing is, like, this Pietrangelo thing, it's quietly one of the more fascinating stories of the early season. So they go out and they get Falk and they sign him to an extension, and now they've got Pietrangelo playing on his weak side, although he can move around. I know someone who was watching them the first time they played together, him and Falk, and they were like, okay, they were kind of alternating or moving around depending on who, what happened or how quickly they got on the ice. I think one of the reasons they went out and they got Falk was because they wanted to be better this year. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Doug Armstrong subscribes to the theory that even if you win a championship, you kind of have to jolt your team if you want to repeat. You have to do something, bring in somebody who hasn't won before, or do something to shake off any kind of malaise off your team. And I think he makes them better for this year. But there's no question that, you know, this Pietrangelo thing is interesting. You know, if I was talking to another GM about it, and he said he finds it hard to believe that they can't make a deal. That the only way that Pietrangelo and the Blues can't make a deal is if, for whatever reason, someone there doesn't want them to make a deal. But there's no question that the longer that goes on, this team overcame a lot of distractions last year to win. I think that's going to be an interesting early season storyline for them. They come to Toronto in the first week, and I think there's going to be a meeting at that time between team and the representatives at Newport. I mean, it could be interesting because that's going to be a season-long storyline if he isn't signed.
Elliot, who do you think will be the most impactful rookie this year and why?
Well, I think there's a lot of good ones. I mean, I think Cale Makar has a chance to be that guy. I think the first two picks have a chance to be that guy. You know, Sportsnet.ca did a really good piece today breaking down some of the contenders for the Calder Trophy, and someone sent me a note and said, there's one guy that you guys didn't put there. And I said, who's that? And he said, Adam Fox from the Rangers. And they said that he's going to get power play points. I think Makar has a chance to be the most impactful guy. And because they're a team that's going to have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, I think. And he had the head start of the first few games in the playoffs last year. So it's a bit of an advantage for him. But if I had to pick someone, I'd probably pick him.